Hi, hey, hello, and welcome to an actually not very exciting episode of a Colts podcast. My name's Brandon. Brought to you by Fan Nation on SI.com. My name's Brandon Moses, and I'm joined here by your co-host, my best friend, Andrew Moore, at Andrew Moore NFL. How are you doing today, sir? Have you recovered mentally?
Better than I was last night. I mean, I thought we had left the roller coasters in 2021. I thought with Carson Wentz gone, we weren't going to have to go on this ride anymore. And sure enough, 2022 Colts, same roller coaster. I mean, what a wild 3.5 hours that was. Our emotions were up, down, just in the dumpster. Gave us a little bit of hope, ripped it away. Just a normal day of Colts football. So I'm doing all right. How are you doing, man?
I am just fine. So I couldn't decide. I was getting ready to say, you know, watch the Jersey episode or don't watch the Jersey episode. I proclaim it's a watch that Jersey episode. So if you don't know the rules, if you're new here, okay, the tradition is brought to you by Andrew. I don't know who got him doing it. He probably came up with it himself because he's a sick little boy. If the Colts win, do not wash your jersey. Okay? If the Colts lose, you wash that nasty shit right off the jersey. Some games, you got to
get the bad juju out of there.
You got to go throw it right into the laundry basket. You know, you're like, get this off of me. I need to be rid of this. Now, Andrew, I do want to know something, future reference here, okay? I've got quite a collection right now. Mm-hmm. I've got a Matt Ryan. I've got a JT. Paige has a JT. Let's get real. I never get to wear that one. I've got Quentin yesterday in celebration of the extension we're going to talk about. I've got a Darius Leonard, and I think I have one more, but I could be wrong. Either way, a lot of jerseys. The Colts win a game, but I'm like, hey, I don't want to wear the Quentin jersey every week. You know, if we go on a run, I don't want to wear the Quentin jersey every week. As long as I don't wash it, I hang it up, I wear another one. We're good.
Correct.
Okay. That's fair. So you don't have to.
No, you don't have to wear the same jersey week after week. Now,
there's the rules.
This all came about real quick before we get into the Colts talk. This all came about when I was, sixth grade, somewhere around there. Colts just won the Super Bowl, had the Peyton Manning jersey. And that's when I didn't wear jerseys just on game day. You wear jerseys because you're a kid. You wear them all the time. Didn't wash that thing from February until the Colts lost the next year. Smelt very bad because I was a teenager. Just my body was mature. A little bit of
just sweating, sitting around.
But
dude, eighth grade was rough for my mattress. I was just waking up in sweats all the time. It was terrible.
I don't think our listeners want to hear about our bodily fluids. Let's get to the Colts game.
Let's get to the social graphic here, Andrew. People need to go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you're not watching this show on YouTube, make sure to go subscribe to the YouTube as well. Comment on the video, say hello, do all the things. Hit the little bell so you know when we're going live because we're so sporadic, especially throughout the season. So let's talk about the game, Andrew. The Colts tie with the, if you hadn't heard, if you're listening to the show, I assume you know. Colts tied the Texans 20-20, which, you know, we were down 20-3 with 15 minutes left in the fourth. I mean, did we score?
10 minutes left.
We didn't score before the end of the third.
Actually, that is a lie because Blankenship kicked that field goal to make it 20-6.
That's correct. Oh, he made that one.
We'll get into that, believe me.
General thoughts about the game, Andrew.
I think Matt Ryan put it best. It was a weird game. That was the first time the Colts have tied a game since they were still in Baltimore in 1982. The Colts started out very, very flat in a way that we did not think this Colts team was going to start out. We talked all off.
You know why we didn't think that, Andrew? Because year after year, year after year, you think there's no way Frank Reich's not going to let him be ready. We change our training camp schedule to mimic game day. They're doing, you know, training camps going at 1 p.m. every day. You know, they did everything. Why can we not be ready for a week one game?
And really, I mean, the general thoughts, it's pretty simple. The Colts couldn't get out of their own way yesterday. It really wasn't anything the Texans did. Yeah, sure. That Jerry Hughes had a decent game against Braden Smith. That Davis Mills made some plays. But if the Colts just would execute the way that they should have yesterday, the game never should have been close. I mean, Alec Pierce catches that touchdown. It's 10-0. The Colts don't run a wildcat on 4th-and-2. Instead, just give it to your all-pro back to run behind your all-pro guard. It's 10-0. The game completely switches. Matt Ryan, who's a 15-year vet, doesn't have four fumbles, three of them on just a normal snap exchange.
Why can I not think of fumble number four? I saw the notes, and I was like, there's three, but all I can think about is the snaps.
The strip sack where Jerry Hughes demolished Braden Smith. But anyways, the Colts just didn't do the simple things right yesterday, and it killed them. And luckily, they have some stars on the offensive side of the ball, and they made some timely plays on defense to get them back into the game. But once again, the mistakes were just too much for them to overcome. And I think looking back on it, the Colts, and I told you this yesterday, that the Colts were lucky that they were even in a position to tie. And I think that was the disappointing part of it, is because Colts fans go into this game thinking that the Colts should win this game and should dominate. And they absolutely should have. And they just couldn't get out of their own way on Sunday.
I mean, the NFL has given us two gifts the last 3 years. They gave us Jags week one. Double trouble in Jacksonville, of course, but they give us Jags week one, and then they just gave us the Houston Texans week one. You think we'd be ready to go for a divisional opponent, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're giving us gifts. The NFL's giving us gifts. We should win these football games. It doesn't make any sense. I don't want to see the full list of teams we've played week one year after year and lost to. I think Cincinnati's probably in there at some point with before Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? So it's just unbelievable that we keep losing these football games week one. And the longer the stretch goes, I feel like the worse it's going to be.
Right. And I just, I mean, after, let's just get into it. We already established that there was too many mistakes.
Hold on. My general thought on that football game is ugly. Looked so bad. I mean, like, we looked so unprepared. We looked sloppy with penalties. Just a lot of stuff that, I mean, you see in week one, but damn, to that degree, no. But we also did see some shine out of some guys that I'm really excited about. So not all negative.
Exactly. That's what I was getting ready to say is when you go through all the smoke and everything that was bad about Sunday, there was still a lot of good that came out of it. And especially when the Colts finally woke up in the fourth quarter, you saw what this team can be. And when they are actually executing, you could see that. Now it's just, can they start to do that and execute on a weekly basis and not take three quarters where they have to continuously dig themselves out of these kind of holes?
Tons of mistakes, obviously. I don't even know who, I mean, we got who to blame in here, right? And I think everybody carried their own load of blame throughout this football game. Even Jonathan Taylor, you and I talked about, made a bonehead decision at the end of the fourth, or towards the end of the game, when we're trying to end of the fourth quarter, try to put points on the board, right? You got to get a first down first. We got two timeouts, JT, and he's more worried about getting out of bounds than he is getting to the line to gain, right? So even he had some moments, but I mean, we can just work our way through the list here, Andrew. I mean, what do we want to start with Matt Ryan and start talking about the ups and downs there?
I think even before that, let's start at the top. Let's start with Frank Reich. And this was kind of the basis for my article yesterday. As Tom Brady says, very disappointing game, and hopefully they can get better real fast.
Thank you for your condolences.
I think that's true. But yeah, it starts at the top. And this was kind of the thought I had from when the game ended, and then hearing what he had to say after the game. Frank Reich said that the mistakes are a reflection on me. And number one, he's right. They absolutely are. But number two, that it shouldn't be happening. These mistakes should not have happened in the plethora that they did. I'm okay. It is week one. Listen, Alec Pierce is a rookie. He drops a ball. That's fine. Blankenship misses a kick. Kickers miss kicks. We saw it all over the NFL yesterday. Yep. That's okay. But when it's the bad play calling on top of your veteran quarterback making just being careless with the football, I don't
understand that.
The receivers dropping passes, a receiving group that Frank Reich and Chris Ballard talked about all offseason as really liking, and taking the risk of going with this unproven group and then having to deal with it. The offensive line not being up to snuff. The defensive line not kicking it on until the fourth quarter. Lapses in coverage. Every single unit out there, you can point to something that was just an uncharacteristic mistake or a mistake that really is inexcusable. So, and that goes on everybody, but it mainly goes on this coaching staff for not having the guys prepared enough and ready to go and focused in enough so that way those careless mental errors don't happen. And that's kind of where I wanted to kick things off today.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the receivers and the tight ends then. Before we get into Matt Ryan's specific numbers, you just mentioned them, you know, the drops, because we're talking about who's to blame, the mistakes. The drops were apparent, and, you know, the internet's all, oh, but I thought we were confident in these young guys, blah, blah, blah. And that's probably the way people deserve to feel after being told we don't need a veteran, you know. Mm-hmm. But the bright side of some of those drops is those wide receivers were creating separation. They were getting open. The scheming is working, right? Because the balls are there. The hands, you know, they're just dropping footballs. Matt Ryan sailed a few high. Next week, maybe it'll be like Carson Wentz last year. One week, all high balls. One week, they're all low. I don't know. But there, to the silver lining of those mistakes and those drops is, well, they were getting open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were creating separation, and I think this is something that Colts fans especially are going to just have to kind of get used to, at least for these first couple of weeks, because it's not an excuse necessarily, it's just how it's going to be, because you can't expect a wide receiver group that doesn't have any proven commodity on it outside of Michael Pittman Jr. to come in and be the Buccaneers wide receiving group, the Cincinnati Bengals, Los Angeles Rams. I mean, they had their own problems this week. But this has got to be expected. Alec Pierce in his first game had some drops. Ashton Doolin had a drop in the end zone. It did get knocked away, but, I mean, if you're going to be playing those meaningful snaps, you got to secure those. Kylan Granson had a few drops. So when you're talking about that, this is kind of what comes with the bumps and the bruises, the learning curve, really, of these wide receivers and these young weapons taking on a bigger role. And that's what the Colts are going to have to work their way through it. It kind of goes back to how the offense kind of struggled early with Phillip Rivers and with Carson Wentz and in those first few weeks. Now it's just on a different level where you got all these young wide receivers that are trying to come into their own and really contribute this team. So those were the biggest mistakes that I saw from that group. But yes, you are right. They were creating separation. And the thing about Matt Ryan, you did notice it right away, how quickly he gets rid of the ball and how, if you are open, Matt Ryan is going to find you and give you a chance at that football pretty much every single time.
Look at two close personal friends, Stats Matt and Drake Walla here. I do believe the new lineman comment from Stats Matt Drake was more that they didn't even matter because they played well. It was the veterans who played not as well, aside from, Quentin Nelson, but we'll get there. Offensive lines on our list here. Let's get back to the list, Andrew. Let's try. We're getting scatterbrained here because we're just so fired up. Matt Ryan was 32 for 50, 352 yards, by the way, and I said he'd break 300. Touchdown, interception, and four fumbles. Okay, three of those, one, I mean, you're in the shotgun, the ball's in your chest and you drop it. That is 100% the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You can argue that it's the center's fault, maybe on, you know, an under center, but at the end of the day, you got to secure the football before you start dropping back. Uncharacteristic mistakes out of him, I feel like, and the interception was lazy is the way I think Drake put it. That's a good way to put it. You know, I was making fun of Flacco throwing the ball 59 times. Matt Ryan threw the ball 50 times the other day.
Yeah, I mean, but Matt Ryan also had another quarter of play, pretty much. But I mean, let's start out with the bad for Matt Ryan. Yeah. Those fumbles are inexcusable. He talked about it after the game. He said that that's not what he expects of himself, and that's not what this team expects of him. And he said that he will get those right. Ryan Kelly did say that at least one of those was his fault. Both of those guys are tremendous leaders. Of course, they're going to say that it was on them. But Matt Ryan took the brunt of the blame and said, it doesn't matter. I need to be able to secure those. And I think he will. If we see it next week in Jacksonville, then I think it's something to be a little bit alarmed about. But I don't think that's something that's going to necessarily continue. But when you talk about Matt Ryan, and before the show and after the show for tomorrow, I'm writing my film review up on Matt Ryan. And what I saw was a guy that was very poised in the pocket. Yes, the interception. Oh, yeah. The interception was not great. I mean, credit to Jerry Hughes. He did make a great play. Matt Ryan said he has to find a better passing lane, which he does, but it was a hell of a play by Jerry Jeudy. Very aware to get off his block, know that screen pass was going to Jonathan Taylor, and for him to get his big mitt up there and grab it. But you saw the poise. You saw the command of the offense. And I think the thing that stood out to me is Colts are down 20-3. Matt Ryan isn't over there with his head down. He's not over there being quiet, saying, oh, my debut sucks. He's over there consistently roaming the sidelines, telling guys, hey.
Every single offensive player.
Exactly. Hey, we're still in this. We just need to get a first down. Just need to get a rhythm going. And the quarterback that the Colts had last year, that wouldn't have happened. The Colts would not have gotten back in this game last year if they had a different number two under center. And I fully believe that. Matt Ryan, I just got done watching all the film. That the end of that game, Matt Ryan became surgical. He was handling pressure in his face because the Texans were trying to send more pressure. Matt Ryan stood in the pocket. He made some slight movements in the pocket
very well.
Exactly, that we had talked about. He can still do those little subtle moves to keep plays alive. He delivered the ball accurately down the field. You saw the budding connection that he already has with Michael Pittman Jr. Yeah. The play action, how he was able to bring those linebackers in. There was a lot of good from Matt Ryan. And we talk about, we'd say his stat line, 352 yards, touchdown, interception. You think about it. If Alec Pierce doesn't drop that touchdown, and Ashton Doolin doesn't get that touchdown knocked out, we're talking about a 3-touchdown performance by Matt Ryan in his first game. So that's that number one that talks about how the margin for error in the NFL, how it's so, so thin. But it's also, I think, a silver lining that without Matt Ryan, the Colts are not in this game yesterday. And I think while Matt Ryan definitely has things to clean up, the Colts can be excited what they have in Matt Ryan moving forward, especially as this team gets more comfortable. He starts to learn his receivers a little bit more, and we see this offense really come together and become a more cohesive unit.
Listen, somebody's got to say it, right? Whether they're being facetious or not. Carson Wentz 1-0, 4 touchdowns and 1 interception.
Two.
Two interceptions?
He had 4 TDs, 2
interceptions. I thought I saw 1 interception. Okay. Either way, just saying.
I mean, he played well. He played well. Credit to him.
Somebody's got to say it, though. Somebody has to make the clickbait comment. I did it. All right. I'm really happy with the way Matt Ryan played overall. The big, you know, the mistakes had a huge impact. It wasn't just like, oh, no big deal. You know, like those mistakes caused problems. But, I mean, we had opportunities to win that football game that were blown by other people as well. So, Matt Ryan, not to fully blame by any means. Again, he shares some of it, but not everybody. Now, a couple of guys that you can't really blame for much in that game. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., dominate. JT, 31 carries, 161 yards in a tut. And MPJ, 9 catches, 121 yards in a tut. hot numbers.
My goodness. I mean, Jonathan Taylor picks up right where he left off last year in absolutely dominant fashion, hasn't lost a step at all. And Michael Pittman Jr., just, I mean, I told you how good he looked in camp and how I thought he had taken another step forward to become a legitimate number one. Michael Pittman Jr., I think, finished seventh or sixth in the entire NFL in receiving yards yesterday. He's on pace to have well over 100 catches. And I think he could be around 110 catch guy for how much Matt Ryan's looking his way.
By the way, listen, why do people say we need Matt Ryan to be able to throw the ball to somebody other than Pittman? If Pittman keeps getting open and keeps catching the football, who gives a shit? Nobody said that about Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or Michael Thomas. Nobody was complaining about that a couple years ago when Michael Thomas broke the record for completions. Nobody was complaining about that when Reggie Wayne was setting the record that Michael Thomas broke. Not Reggie Wayne,
Marvin Harrison.
Sorry, but you get my point. I just don't understand why that's a bad thing. Why is it a bad thing to go to your number one receiver a lot?
It is a good thing. You want to be able to depend on other guys.
You want to have the ability to, right? But
right. So that way, when you face a Bill Belichick team that tries to take away your number one guy, it doesn't completely stall out your offense. But I mean, we already knew this, but this was just further proof that Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. are going to be the cornerstone guys that this offense is built around for 4 years to come. I mean, both of them are up for contracts and we'll probably get them this offseason, this upcoming offseason. I would expect Michael Pittman Jr. to get top dollar wide receiver money, and I don't think the Colts will have any qualms about paying that if he continues to produce at this level. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, you say what you will about paying a running back when you have a guy that can single-handedly win a game for you at the running back position like Jonathan Taylor and everything else that he brings. I think he's worth every penny. And both of these guys were just absolutely phenomenal yesterday. With Taylor, especially in the fourth quarter and the Colts are driving it, you would think that the Colts are trying to pass on every play to get down the field and score as much as possible. Colts instead, Frank Reich called four or five straight runs, and I think each one of them went for 10-plus yards. And because of how Jonathan Taylor was able to maneuver through the offensive line.
Some dudes, too.
And this, I wanted to talk about this because you texted me yesterday during the game, and you said Jonathan Taylor is displaying Le'Veon Bell levels of patience. And that's exactly what I talked about with Jonathan Taylor in training camp. I asked him, what are the areas that you personally worked on after your fantastic season in 2021? Players are always still trying to get better. Well, what did you focus in on? And he said he focused in on just being more patient, not necessarily trying to hit the hole too quickly, but kind of more, still reading the block, seeing where those are going to develop, so that way those bigger runs can become more consistent. And we saw that yesterday where back-to-back-to-back-to-back, it was 10 to 15-yard runs from Taylor just moving down the field, especially in that fourth quarter. So, yeah, can't say enough about Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman. Absolute studs yesterday. Easily the best players on the field.
Yeah, Pittman, very impressed with him. Jonathan Taylor, impressed, sure. Surprised, no. And not in any way. I called JT and Michael Pittman Jr. getting a touchdown. Colts didn't win, though. So that would have been a nice cherry on top. But Jonathan Taylor, though, that patience thing, a couple of times I'm like, listen, run the football. Like, I'm seeing a hole here. What are you doing? But I mean, then all of a sudden, whoop, splurts through. I'm like, well, there he goes. And he had a couple shoestring tackles, too, where he was one man away from breaking one off, death taxes. And
Jonathan Taylor breaking one off.
Hell yeah. But yeah, they played great. Other wide receivers and tight ends, Andrew, this name only got called twice, but it was on two big plays. Mike Strawn, two catches, 36 yards, long of 20. Both of those were big first downs. One of those drives was stalled later on. However, he kept it alive in that moment with his first catch. Second catch, same deal. Kept a drive alive with big first down. I was impressed with his play. I think we have a comment in here that he only took... I don't know how many 11 snaps. Pretty good production.
Yeah, and that's the thing when we're talking about guys like Ashton Doolin, Mike Strawn, Desmond Patman, who was a healthy scratch yesterday. When they get those opportunities, you got to make the most of them. But especially with this young wide receiver group, behind Michael Pittman Jr., everything is wide open. It really is. So Mike Strawn coming in the game and providing that big body wide receiver running pretty crisp routes, helping in the blocking game. And when Matt Ryan threw him the ball, he delivered. Two targets, two catches, two first downs. And when you're talking about a quarterback like Matt Ryan, who's a veteran and wants to go to those guys, it's very important to deliver on those opportunities, because the more Mike Strawn starts to capitalize on those, you're going to see his snaps start to increase. And you could see where maybe Mike Strawn starts getting more snaps on the outside, and you put Alec Pierce in the slot, Michael Pittman in the slot, and put Pierce on the other side. Strawn has an opportunity here. And while he's probably not going to get 30 to 40 snaps a game yet, when you are in there for those 11 snaps, you make the most of them. That's all that Mike Strawn can be asked. And he certainly did that yesterday.
Nyheim Hines production, or lack thereof, that stand out to you at all?
It did. I thought we were going to see a lot more Nyheim Hines yesterday than we did, because we talked about it all off season. I mean, the Colts talked about how much he was going to get involved, and I understand wanting to ride the hot hand at Jonathan Taylor, because again, Taylor was going off. But at the same time, you talk about how you want to get it into Nyheim Hines' hands, and he did. He had some more catches, I think, than he would have last year, but he hardly ran the ball on the ground.
He had the second most receptions on the team.
He had six, but you'd want to see, I'd like to see more two running back sets with Taylor and Hines in the game at the same time. I think we saw a lot of where Hines was in the backfield, he would catch those. I think we saw a little bit where there was the two back sets with him and Taylor, but that's the Colts are just become so much more dynamic when those two are both on the field at the same time. I think we will see that more moving forward, but I definitely would like to see the ball in Nyheim Hines' hands a little bit more.
Yeah. And then Paris Campbell, he had four targets. It was good to see him running around. I would have liked to have seen him get a couple of easier catches with, you know, some running room to see what he could do there. Same with Pittman. I mean, let's get him some of those, more of those crossers as well, and let him do damage with his feet. But overall, pretty happy.
I think this was because the Texans played a lot of zone defense yesterday. They really couldn't undo much with, as far as the mesh concepts are concerned, where you have like Pittman and Campbell both running across the field together to get one of those guys open. And I think when the Texans did go into man, that's when you saw a quick play action and Ryan got it to Pittman on a crosser, and Pittman took it for a big gain. That we talk about that yards after catch ability. So I think we will see that more. I was expecting, like you were, a little bit more action out of Paris Campbell as far as being able to get him open in space and allowing him to use his speed. But I'm sure we'll see that more down the line.
All right, let's talk about this offensive line. Anybody else you want to talk about between receivers, tight ends? I mean, Granson's name was called a couple times. I think he had a drop.
I don't think so. It just needs to be more consistent out of the wide receiver group outside of Pittman. I mean, Alec Pierce needs to catch the ball. Ashton Doolin, Kylan Granson, Mo Alie-Cox really didn't hear his name much. He was more on blocking duty, but just consistency. And when your number is called, do what Mike Strawn did yesterday and do your job.
Yeah. Offensive line was not great in pass protection or in the running game in a lot of instances. Jonathan Taylor got blown up behind the line of scrimmage a couple of times. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Andrew, but what do you have to say about the offensive line?
I thought outside of Quentin Nelson, the offensive line was a little bit pedestrian. I saw Ryan Kelly was pretty good in pass protection. There were a couple times where I was watching, he picked up on a blitz right away. So, shout out to Ryan Kelly for that. But Braden Smith, man, you are getting paid too much money to be getting just like destroyed in the passing game like that. You're and supposed by who? To be by Jerry Hughes, a former Colt. So, I mean, when you're getting paid as much as Braden Smith does, and when we talk about him being one of the best right tackles in the league, That can't happen. And yeah. And I think the offensive line did settle down and did settle in later in the game. You saw opening holes for Taylor. You saw Ryan having a little bit more of time to throw as the game went along. Matt Pryor, for the most part, I think he did okay. It was interesting to see how the Colts did rotate Matt Pryor and Bernard Raymond in the game periodically. Raymond or Pryor still got the majority of the snaps, but I think that goes to show that this battle is going to rage on all season, and the Colts are wanting to. I think it also shows the Colts want to get Raymond into the game, want him to get that game action, because they see that he could be the long-term answer down the line. I thought when Raymond had his opportunities at pass pro, he did pretty solid for his NFL debut.
Tossing horseshoes is in here, Andrew, asking when Raymond will start. Do you think that's a possibility before the end of the year?
Definitely a possibility. I really do. I think that, and that's going to be something that we're going to have to watch as the games go on. I don't think you can really predict and say, oh, by week 8 or so, yeah, he's going to be starting, because there might be
a moment that happens where you go, well,
that's what I was going to say, is if you start to see Pryor struggle, the Colts and Frank Reich are not going to have any reservations with ripping Pryor out of the game and putting Raymond in there. And it's pretty much going to be whoever can play the most consistent and whoever basically, again, we'll get back to it, whoever does their job best, that is the left tackle that's going to be in there to protect Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Masta Blasta is in here talking about Reich not being very creative and not using a play action. I don't disagree with him. Pass rush.
A little bit sus, a little suspect until they got to the fourth quarter and into overtime. And I thought that was big. That was one of my keys to the game. When you're dealing with a young quarterback, and it's going to be the same key this upcoming weekend against Jacksonville, dealing with young quarterbacks, you got to get pressure in their face. You got to get them off their mark. And yep, we saw that the Colts didn't do that for three quarters. Davis Mills had all day to throw, and he was able to complete passes down the field. Then all of a sudden, he moves
well enough too to get away from guys. That caused some
exactly,
problems.
Exactly. That's a good point. But then as soon as you saw in the fourth quarter, when the Colts were actually starting to get some pressure on him, all of a sudden the Texans offense couldn't do anything. I mean, yeah, Kwity Paye comes out in overtime with two sacks on the same drive. Grover Stewart was an animal there. DeForest Buckner started to get some pressure, but it took them three quarters. That needs to be consistent throughout the game. And it needs to be something that when the Colts do get a lead, it's kind of going back all the way back to when Peyton Manning was leading this team. Peyton Manning and this offense would get a lead, and that would allow the pass rushers of Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis to pin their ears back and go get the quarterback. So something to watch, definitely needs to be tightened up, and they need to produce a little bit more. So that way, when you're facing these younger quarterbacks, you can really take advantage of it.
Yeah, I like seeing Kwity getting in the backfield. Want to see it earlier. Like you said, I think getting on an earlier is a little bit better. Matt says, I think Houston got on their heels a bit. The defense started to eat. And yeah, we all agree, fast starts. Coverage mistakes, Andrew. It was one play that kind of sparked my brain. I was kind of grilling the wings and watching the game, you know, at the same time. And so the first half, I was not as locked in as I was the second half. I just remember seeing a play where Stephon Gilmore is giving a guy 15 yards of cushion. I thought we were running a press too. What is going on? Why are we still playing this soft ass coverage?
I mean, it wasn't like that the entire game. I think when you're talking about the corners, like Stephon Gilmore, I thought he played pretty well. There were a lot of times where Gilmore,
did saying he had a rough game or anything.
Right. Well, I think the biggest concern in pass coverage was the linebackers, because watching the film again today on both of those touchdown passes from Davis Mills to OJ Howard, where OJ Howard was wide open in the seam there. Those are man match concepts where the linebacker needs to take that man and get him down the field. It's not, I mean, yeah, Julian Blackman did have the best game, biting on some things and was out of position at times, but on both of those touchdown throws, though, that's a linebacker's responsibility. That's Bobby Okereke, Zaire Franklin, EJ Speed. Those guys need to be able to cover. And in this defense, this Gus Bradley scheme, linebackers are going to be asked to do a lot more as right. In regards to coverage. So that's something to keep an eye on. And I think that's an area where Shaquille Leonard is going to be asked to help, and where Shaquille Leonard's football right. instincts, football IQ is going to come in handy, because he's going to be asked to do that a lot in coverage as well. Just like Okereke. So definitely things to clean up, because, well, it might not necessarily have a huge impact next week. I mean, against the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes with yeah. Travis Kelce, they'll certainly take advantage. I'm sure Ryan Tannehill will try to take advantage of it. Russell Wilson, when you're facing these top tier quarterbacks here, week 3, 4, 5, as we go along, they certainly will try to take advantage of it. And those linebackers really need to shape up, especially in coverage.
Yeah, I think Darius Shaquille Leonard not being out there. Kind of hurt.
You felt it. We said, hey, if the Colts can't beat the Texans without Shaq, they've got bigger problems. You felt his presence missing yesterday. There wasn't nearly the explosive plays from this defense. The turnover, there was only one turnover that happened. Mm-hmm. The highlight plays and the energy of this defense wasn't out there. This team misses Shaquille Leonard, and I know the Colts don't want to push it, and they're not going to. They are still going to be smart with Leonard. They're not going to overreact to a tie with the Texans and push him out there before he's ready. But this will be a different defense when Shaquille Leonard is back on the field.
Yikes. All right. Let's talk about Hot Rod. Hot Rod on the hot seat. First of all, let's see if this Hawk guy can kick off, because apparently Hot Rod cannot. Don't shake my hand over the course of the offseason. Otherwise, you kick two balls out of bounds and miss a game-winning field goal. I think it's early to pull the trigger on getting him out, but I do believe what you said to me, the Colts better have somebody in the building this week working out at kicker, just to put a little fire under Hot Rod's ass, because unacceptable football game out of him.
I think you put it exactly right. That is unacceptable. I mean, the Colts have had kicking trouble now for going on four seasons now, since 2019, when Adam Vinatieri, his last year with the Colts, and Hot Rod isn't putting any of those doubters to bed. Certainly, I mean, he was 2 for 3, so he made 3 of them, but the one that you missed was the biggest one, and it was a 42-yarder. In today's NFL, that should be automatic.
Got to be automatic.
And the thing is, he didn't miss it barely. I mean, he sliced the hell out of that football. There,
it broke right away.
There was no chance that ball was ever going through the uprights. And then to kick the ball out of bounds, I mean, once is okay. Maybe you just hit it wrong. Sure, it happens. But twice, hey man, in a row.
You miss once, aim at the middle of the field. Don't care.
Twice in a row. That's out of bounds. Wild. Pretty much the same exact spot.
Yeah, it was
the same. Unacceptable. And the loss of Rigoberto Sanchez just to kick the football off should not be that big of a detriment to this team.
Special teams did not look good overall.
I don't care what Frank Reich says publicly. Hot Rod is on the hot seat, and he should be, because if you're a kicker, and I understand there's a lot that goes into one job. And I'm not saying that kicking is easy. You do have one job, something that you need to focus on, and just go out there again. I think I'm sounding like Bill Belichick. Do your job. That's what all these Colts need to go out and do. The Colts did hold some tryouts today. None of them were kickers. A lot of defensive backs, a linebacker, a defensive end, no kickers. We'll see if Tuesday anything happens there or later in the week. Frank Reich has said now after the game and today in his press conference that Hot Rod is their guy. He also said that him and Chris Ballard were going to speak tonight and have a discussion about what to do moving forward. So Hot Rod is on the hot seat, and he better start if the Colts do stick with him. Number one, he better start showing that he can be relied upon in pressure situations. Otherwise, he will be out of a job. And number two, Chris Ballard and Frank Wright cannot let this go on again and let the Colts continue to lose games because they're stubborn and they won't move off of the kicker in time.
Honestly, last year, the kicking situation wasn't bad. The kicking was fine. It was just that Hot Rod got hurt. We were concerned, and there was a little bit of competition between him and McLaughlin, who was going to come back. So Badgley. It was McLaughlin
by the way. Yeah, but by the way, Michael Badgley is a free agent right now.
It was McLaughlin and Dan Bailey.
I mean, Badgley was good for the Colts last year. It's only a phone call away. If I'm Chris Ballard, I think, hey, you keep Badgley on speed dial.
All right. Stats Matt disagrees. Hey, listen. When all's said and done, thanks to the New York Football Giants and the Washington Commanders and Carson Wentz, the first time Carson Wentz has ever put the Colts tied in first for the AFC South, we're tied for the lead in the AFC South with 0 wins. That cannot have ever happened before.
I don't know if it has. Well, Stats Mac could try to look that stat up.
That's a hard stat to find. But we made us and the Texans maybe the first.
And I think that's the silver lining in all of this, that the Colts, while they tied, while they had an opportunity to go 1-0, the Texans still tied them. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost. The Tennessee Titans lost. It's one game. And I think because it's week one, because it's the Colts, because of the past 8, now 9 years where the Colts haven't won in week one, this game holds more importance to Colts fans. And that's why I think we're starting to see, or not starting to see, but we've seen kind of the outrage that there was. I mean, things could always be worse. Like, you could be the Cowboys that just lost Dak for probably six to eight weeks. You could be the Steelers where TJ Watt might be out for the season. It's just, things aren't always as good as they seem. Things aren't always as bad as they seem. And which, so,
by the way, once we finish other Colts news, we're going to go through some scores that make everybody scratch their head. So, you know, we're not the only ones.
It's one game out of a 17 game journey.
Yeah.
And it's there's nothing the Colts can do about it. The Colts can't do anything about it now. It's how they react and how they fix those dumb mistakes, those stupid mental errors. Just go out there, do your job, execute, and I ultimately think the Colts will be fine.
All right, other Colts news, injuries. Darius Shaquille Leonard back, missed the game versus the Texans. We kind of already talked about this, so no need to expound here, but the Colts would greatly benefit from having him back.
Yeah, we'll have to see how he practices this week, the amount of progress he makes. Again, I would still put it about 50-50 that he plays. We'll just kind of have to see how he progresses throughout the week.
And hey, big news on Saturday. It broke on Saturday, right?
It did.
The Colts and guard Quentin Nelson agree to a 4-year, $80 million extension with $60 million guaranteed. Highest paid guard in NFL history, going to be averaging $20 million a year. Unreal. Good for him.
We knew it was going to get done. We have been waiting. Quentin Nelson said that he was kind of upset that it took this long and it had broke right before the season because he just wanted to focus on football. Typical Quentin Nelson answer there, but you knew he was going to get paid. You knew he was going to be the highest paid guard in NFL history. He's now the fourth highest paid NFL offensive lineman. Quentin Nelson deserves every penny for that. He completely has transformed this Colts offensive line. Yep. And when you have a Hall of Fame player, you don't let the Hall of Fame player leave
and go be a Hall of Famer somewhere else.
And you pay him what he's worth. So yep. Glad the deal got done and Quentin Nelson backed it up. I thought he had a very, very good game on Sunday and he showed why the Colts are giving him $20 million a year.
Great question by Stats Matt. I saw somebody else bring it up earlier too. I think Drake. What is Isaiah Rodgers getting 0 snaps on defense for?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it has to do with number one, the Texans kept the Colts in their base defense a lot of the time. There was they had a lot of three linebackers out there with just Stephon Gilmore and Kenny Moore. So the times that they did come in, Brandon Faison was fresh. I think Isaiah Rodgers is probably, they're probably still trying to work him back in from that concussion protocol, because that concussion wasn't just a 1 week thing. It lasted about a month. So you did see him get some special team snaps in, but yeah, I would like to see Isaiah Rodgers getting more snaps at the cornerback position, because again, he's a playmaker, and that's really what they need on defense.
All right, that's it for the Colts. Rodgers did save that muff punt as well. That Hines made a mistake on special teams. Special teams, lots of mistakes as well. So all three phases. All right, let's talk about those week one games, Andrew. The NFL is drunk. You're right. I did get the first game of the year incorrect. Bills 31, Rams 10. It was 10-10 at halftime when I went to sleep. I woke up to quite a shock. I was like, holy, what the hell happened last night? Josh Allen happened. MVP.
The Bills covering the spread of 2.5 is pretty much the only bet that I got this weekend. Be college, don't ask. NFL, don't ask. Josh Allen, my God. The Josh Allen for MVP campaign, off to a very hot start. That man is on another planet as far as the ability of a quarterback. Him and Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, those guys. And Aaron Rodgers didn't look that great this weekend, but yeah.
I was starting to doubt Patrick Mahomes, and we'll talk about him again in a minute. I was starting to doubt him just in general, his drive. Is he going to be an all-time great? And then he had one. Hell of a game. I was like, okay, he's still around.
Yeah. Josh Allen, though, man.
Yeah.
Incredible. Learn not to take a hit. I'm getting
Matt Stafford can't throw a football.
Got Andrew Luck vibes from Josh Allen taking all those hits. Like, man, just slide. I know you enjoy it, but so did Andrew Luck. And
Until he didn't.
So yeah, Matt Stafford, I think there's more going on there that they're letting on. He didn't look right. And when you're only throwing it to Cooper Kupp, teams can key in on that. Don't understand only two targets for Allen Robinson. That didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah.
Rams have some things to clean up on offense, but it's week one. Again, every team does.
Is Matt Stafford hurt or injured?
I almost want to say injured.
Elbow. Not looking good.
Not good, especially for a mid-30s quarterback.
Yeah. Saints 27, Falcons 26. Did not think the Saints were going to pull this one out of their ass.
Didn't see any of this game, really.
I was just watching the score throughout the game, and I was like, what is happening?
I mean, the Falcons... I guess it's not on Matt Ryan for the people that even thought it was. Falcons blow another lead. So
yep,
Jameis Winston starts out 1-0 in his rebound season. Michael Thomas still good wide receiver. Played very
well. Turns out he's good at football.
Yep.
Should have started him in my fantasy league this week. here we go. Here the craziness begins. The Bears beat the 49ers, Andrew's Super Bowl team, for God's sake.
I didn't say Super Bowl, but I said
literally have the 49ers going to the Super. Oh no, you said no, the Bucks. You got them losing the Bucks. Okay, sorry.
The 49ers getting 49ers winning the division. Yes,
correct.
That was an absolute downpour there at Soldier Field. I mean, just buckets and buckets of water, but. Trey Lance, you're gonna have to survive these learning curves by Trey Lance. I was impressed with Justin Fields, and hey, Matt Eberflus gets win number one. Good for him.
Steelers pull off a big one against the Bengals, overtime as well, 23-20. The Bengals look flat. Jamar Chase still very good at football.
Still very good. Joe Burrow with 5 turnovers, he'll get it right, but definitely not the start to the season he wanted. Chris Boswell missed a field goal. Evan McPherson had a field goal blocked. Then I think he even missed a field goal. I'm not 100% sure on that one, but then Chris McPherson, Boswell
missed one and had one blocked. Yeah,
and then but Boswell the missed, hits it at
blaming
the end.
The hold.
Okay, well, still, I mean, kicking issues were prevalent all over the NFL this weekend.
Yeah. McPherson's a very good kicker. Like I would.
Oh yeah!
At the end of last year, I'd have said he was a top 3 kicker.
I would
maybe top 4.
100% agree with that.
Yeah. So, he'll be fine. Eagles sneak one in. Nick Sirianni and the Eagles win 38-35 over the Lions. Lions might play good football this year.
Lions made it interesting. I think the Eagles were up by quite a bit, and they let the Lions come back in on that one. So, but again, I think Nick Sirianni is my coach of the year pick. Jalen Hurts, I think, had a really good game running the football. And then A.J. Brown just makes that offense so much better. I mean, he's one hell of a wide receiver, and thank God he's out of the AFC South.
I wish we could have had him. By the way, what is with the Watts and tearing their pecs? That has happened multiple times to JJ.
They're just animals, absolute animals.
Yeah. Lions ran all over the Eagles. Jamal Williams?
Yep.
Yeah. Two touchdowns, 15 yards. I mean, get out of town. Dolphins just, 20-7 doesn't look bad, but from what I saw, the Dolphins just dominated that football game against the Patriots, winning 20-7.
I told you, Patriots, number one, they can't win in Miami. And when you have multiple guys calling plays, or Matt Patricia, a defensive guy calling plays on the offensive side of the ball, it's not going to work out. Patriots offense looked abysmal. And
it's weird.
The Dolphins with Tua to Tyreek Hill, that connection was working on Sunday.
Ravens did not suffer a week one trauma. 24-9, holding their own against the Jets.
Lamar Jackson, one of those other guys, still very good at football. He's betting on himself again, and just went out there and balled and said, "Hey, Ravens,
he's going to Kirk Cousins this deal.
Ravens, pay me what you want, or pay me what I want. Otherwise, you're going to watch this talent leave the building."
He's going to get franchise tag next year. Commanders beat the Jags 28-22. Don't care to talk about that much. Did Trevor Lawrence at least look good at football?
Trevor Lawrence looked okay. I didn't really catch that much of the game, but I mean, I am happy for Carson Wentz that he was able to get revenge on the Jaguars, throw up four touchdowns and still come away with the victory. So, I mean, good for Carson Wentz.
Hey, Jacoby Brissett and the Browns, 26 over the Panthers, 24. I tried to tell you.
As time expired, too.
And by the way, Baker tried to come back. They tried to pull it off.
But I mean, from what I heard, the Panthers looked abysmal, kind of like the Colts did for three quarters. Just couldn't come back. I do think that eventually it is going to work out where Baker Mayfield is going to be wouldn't say a top quarterback, but he'll be a suitable quarterback for the Panthers.
Giants 21, Titans 20. Big thanks to the Giants for winning that football game. Brian Daboll, by the way.
Brian Daboll got some cojones on it.
Some moves too, huh? Did you see the dancing in the locker room?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, the Titans last year, all of those situations made the field goal. 2 years ago, felt like they missed every single one in those situations. So that worked for us. So I'm hoping we're back in the 2 years ago mode where they just – all their games are this close and they just keep blowing them.
Yeah. I was very impressed by the Giants, their resiliency, how they kept fighting, and Saquon Barkley looks like he's got his explosion back. So that's pretty good.
All right. And the Vikings just beat the brakes off of the Packers 23-7. What happened? I watched none of that football game.
What happened is Aaron Rodgers lost Davante Adams and he lost Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I saw that they ran the ball a lot. Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs missed some balls. The Packers offense just
didn't run the ball a lot. They only ran the ball 18 times.
Really?
They only threw the ball 39 times. And Jordan Love was five of those.
Yeah, it's not the offense that we've just grown accustomed to with the Green Bay Packers. And I feel like they have to figure that out quick. Otherwise the Vikings will run away with that division because while they're not probably a top team in the NFC, they're good enough to compete.
Yeah. And Justin Jefferson's good at football too.
So. Very good.
Nine catches, 184 yards and two tuts.
The Kevin McConnell was the offensive coordinator for the Rams last year. Mm-hmm. He's taking that Cooper Kupp role and just running with it.
Yep. Kirk Cousins looked good too. So interesting. Chiefs 44, Cardinals 21. That game was not very exciting.
All the talk offseason was Patrick Mahomes is going to be exposed because he doesn't have Tyreek Hill. You lit a fire under 15's butt. And he went out there and said, watch me now. Goes out and throws for 350 plus yards, five TDs. Yeah. Says, hey, I'm still one of the best quarterbacks and football players on the planet. Yeah. Very good showing for Patrick Mahomes.
And then the game that I told you, Andrew, was going to be the one to watch for these 4 o'clock games. It was the one to watch. The Chargers 24, Raiders 19. Great football game. Davante Adams looked awesome still with Derek Carr, but Justin Herbert and the Chargers looked better. I just want to point out stats, Matt, now during this game. McDaniels apparently went for it on 4th and 7. If Reich did that, I think half the Colts fans would have a stroke. Not wrong. I mean, we they'd flip out.
He's not wrong. But I watched a lot of that game, and big difference was Derek Carr turned the ball over a lot. He was under constant duress. That offensive line in Las Vegas is not very good. And Justin Herbert was cool, calm, and collected.
And then the last game of the day, Sunday Night Football. When I went to bed, it was close. Woke up, not close anymore again. Tom Brady, average, but good enough to get it done. And Dak gets hurt in the fourth quarter. Probably, how much time was left when Dak got hurt? Did they even have a chance of coming back?
I mean, they probably did, but the Cowboys' offense did not look good. Dak was under constant pressure by Shaquille Barrett and Devin White, and just the constant blitzing from a Todd Bowles defense. And while Brady was definitely under pressure from Micah Parsons, he had a good game. Brady wasn't Brady. Buccaneers still were able to come out on top, and I think Mike Evans made one hell of a catch for a touchdown there to pretty much seal it.
Did I bring this up the other day that I saw in the news, Jerry Jones did an interview or press conference, and he said this team goes as Zeke goes. Did I tell you that?
I think so.
Idiotic comment from that moron. No, it doesn't. Zeke has consistently gotten worse and worse and worse every single year. Go look at his numbers. Consistent drop off every single year, and it's not going to be any better. This team runs as Dak runs, and guess what? Dak's not running for the next 6 to 8 weeks. Dallas Cowboys are in trouble.
They're Dallas Cowboys calling it now.
Great win. Good job, dead. Tom Brady.
Dallas Cowboys, dead.
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 Dallas Cowboys are dead. Yes. Love it. Love the early call out. That's great. Great win by Tom Brady and the Bucks. All right. News around the league. Let's wrap this episode up. News around the league. There's a lot of news. Ravens and quarterback Lamar Jackson did not reach a long-term deal before the quarterback's deadline, per Ravens GM Eric DaCosta.
Yeah, I've seen some numbers floated around, like $250 million over 5 or 6 years, something like that. Haven't heard anything concrete, but Lamar's betting on himself, and he went out and showed it on Sunday. Still very good at football.
Well, the Cowboys need a quarterback. I know one from Texas on AFC team that would trade him for CeeDee Lamb. Who would do that?
I mean, you want to send old Sammy Ellinger down there to Texas to
you want to trade Cowboys Sam Ellinger for CeeDee Lamb?
That's what Stats Matt wants to do. Hey, they'll take it. Go ahead.
Could you imagine? Oh, what about Sam Ellinger in a first round pick?
I don't know about that.
I'd do it. I'd say, hell yeah. CD Lamb's awesome, man. I don't know if CD Lamb wants it, though, right? All right. Steelers fear linebacker TJ Watt tore his pectoral muscle and will get a second and third opinion on the injury. If surgery is needed, it would end a season. If no surgery needed, Watt could return in about 6 weeks.
So apparently it's that close that he needs multiple opinions to see if surgery is actually needed. If TJ Watt can come back from a torn pec in 6 weeks, just another.
Didn't his brother do it last year? JJ come back from a torn pec last year?
Just more proof that the Watt family is inhuman. Unbelievable.
Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott suffered an injury to his throwing hand. I believe fractured thumb that will require surgery and keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. We talked about that. We don't need to continue, Andrew, because I can see your lips starting to move. Ravens cornerback Kyle Fuller tore his ACL Sunday against the Jets. Grow up, Brandon, and is out for the season.
Seems like every single year recently, the Ravens have a cornerback that tears their ACL. It was Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. Now it's Kyle Fuller.
Raiders and tight end Darren Waller agree to a three-year, $51 million extension. Waller is now tied to the Raiders for 5 years at $66.25 million. Good for him. What a story, that guy.
Incredible story. I mean,
what a football player, dude, by the way.
Yeah, very good football player as well. Dude was on the verge of never playing football again, had a lot of substance abuse problems, got clean, has stayed clean, and has turned his life around to be one of the best tight ends in football. Just fantastic for Darren Waller.
This is hilarious to me because, you know, Sean McVay, I think he might retire. This is why Sean McVay is saying I might retire. Rams signed head coach Sean McVay and GM Les Snead to contract extensions through 2026. That's why you say things like, you know what, I'm the boy wonder. I think I might retire now.
McVay will be there for quite a long time. He isn't going anywhere. He's still young. Hell, he could even
go. Young. I think I was probably in high school at the same time as him.
He could technically retire, go do TV for a few years and say, hey, I'd like to come back and coach again. Come back by the time he's 45 and then have a second career as a coach.
Yeah, and then he could start calling people the F word and
telling them not to go in the porta potty, things like that.
No, I was just thinking about.
Can we play the clip?
What's his name? Why can I not think of the Buccaneers coach, for God's sake, that went back to the Raiders? John Gruden. I was making a John Gruden joke because he went to TV and he came back.
You get it.
Use the F word. I don't know where it is. Listen, by the way.
Hey, and also, don't be the guy that takes the shit in the porta potty.
This guy can't retire.
All right? I went in there. I about threw up.
Also, big time
you like that?
Moment to this weekend. He was, you know.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Titans sign. What? Oh. Titans signed safety Amani Hooker to a three-year, $33 million extension with $19.5 million guaranteed. By the way, speaking of safeties named Hooker, starter for the Dallas Cowboys.
Malik Hooker. Yeah. Amani Hooker, I mean, the Titans with Hooker and Kevin Byard, one of the best safety tandems in the league. So Amani Hooker made some plays for the Titans yesterday. Nice extension for him.
All right, Colts player of the game, Andrew. Yours?
Pretty easy for me. Jonathan Taylor just immediately picks up where he left off last year. 31 carries, 161 yards, and a touchdown. Had four catches for 14 yards. This team is, I mean, this offense is just different when Jonathan Taylor is running the ball. They become so much more multiple. And, I mean, what else can we say about JT? Just incredible.
I'm gonna go with stats, Matt, and say Pittman. I could pick Jonathan Taylor or Pittman. Jonathan Taylor was consistently playing well throughout the whole game, though, carried the team in my opinion. So that's probably the best pick. But to not follow yours, I would pick Pittman. But also, I don't pick losers. So,
well, they technically didn't lose.
They didn't win either. So I only pick winners. How about
that? You're not wrong.
Okay, everybody, make sure to go follow us at A Colts Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We love interacting with you guys on there and hope to see you following us. If you don't already, go leave some reviews on Apple and whatnot. By the way, you said people left reviews on Apple Podcasts. I don't see shit from the last 2 months. So it must have been on Spotify where people were sending you some reviews.
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you get it. All reviews are welcome.
Boos are loud in Seattle. Interesting. I'm very interested in this football game. Very excited about that. Let's get to that, Andrew. Anything else for the fans?
Colts need to clean up the mistakes. Heading down to Jacksonville, and we'll be back later in the week to get y'all ready for week 2. So all go right. Colts.
Go Colts.
Let this moment become a cherished memory, and then remember, a legacy is only worthwhile when there is a future to fuel. God bless you, and God bless football.